2 Kings 8, beginning at verse 1, hear God's word. Now Elisha had said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, "Arise and depart with your household and sojourn wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine, and it will come upon the land for 7 years." So the woman arose and did according to the word of the man of God. She went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And at the end of the 7 years, when the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, she went to appeal to the king for her house and her land. Now the king was talking with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, "Tell me all the great things that Elisha has done." And while he was telling the king how Elisha had restored the dead to life, behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life appealed to the king for her house and her land. And Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, here is the woman and here is her son whom Elisha restored to life." And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed an official for her, saying, "Restore all that was hers, together with all the produce of the fields, from the day that she left the land until now." Thus far in the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord bless it to our hearts and to our lives. Beloved in the Lord, as we look at this portion of 2 Kings chapter 8, we find that war and famine had been involved in the land. And now the word of the Lord comes to this woman, the Shunammite woman, through the prophet Elisha, to let her know that a famine will come for 7 years. During the reign of King Jehoram, a once happy people had come to ruin on account of their national sins. They had been prosperous, but now their farms became desolate. Their homes had marked the changes that had taken place in the land. Now, God had previously brought a relief from the famine provoked by the Syrian attack on Samaria. You'll recall, as we read a few chapters before, the Syrian army had surrounded Samaria. There was a famine, but God sustained them and delivered them from that famine. But there was no recognition of the hand of God, no acknowledgement of God's goodness, no praise to God for his mercies. They were simply unthankful and unholy, as we read in 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. This people now come under the hand of God once again. And yet, in the midst of this people is the Shunammite woman, and the ministry of the Lord through the prophet Elisha comes to her. And that's what we read in verse 1. Now Elisha said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, "Arise and depart with your household and sojourn wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine and will come upon the land for 7 years. Remember, this was the woman whose son that Elisha raised to life. This is the woman that God had blessed. And now God is going to bless her again. God is going to show his mercy to this Shunammite woman, this poor woman. And he is going to show it by directing her to leave the land because of the famine and to find help elsewhere in the midst of this coming famine. The word of the Lord came to tell her there's going to be a famine. Verse 1 tells us that that is going to take place, and it's going to be 7 years long. Now, if you stop and think about that for a moment, as a farmer, that would be a long time. You can think about your own fields for a moment. What would happen in a famine for 7 years? Your fields would look a mess. There would be nothing left. And that's what happened. There would be a famine for 7 years. But God was faithful, and he didn't forsake his own. And the faithfulness of God resulted in the fact that he shows his mercy to this woman through the saying of the man of God. And God exempts the Shunammite woman from the horrors of the famine which was to come. This is an act of his divine mercy. And notice that this woman had a great need. She had no husband. This was just another trial that she would be going through. She had to leave Shunem. She had to leave her home. She had to leave her family. Remember, if you think back a little bit to the time that she had had an interaction with Elisha. Elisha had even offered her the privilege of court patronage so that she could dwell among her own people, but she accepted none of that. She was in a position where she was going to lose it all. And God warns her and tells her to leave Shunem, to avoid the affliction of the famine, because God will not forsake his own as his children. He gives her direction, and he gives her the exact time of the duration of the famine. Note that the famine is even double the time of that which occurred in the days of Elijah the prophet. This famine is coming. She is warned about it, and she is given the mercy of God in the ability to escape. The comfort comes from the Lord himself. God himself directly intervenes and sovereignly calls for this famine, but gives this woman the ability through the mouth of the prophet to provide for her own comfort in the midst of the trials that would come. And God's people will see that the trials that God has called for and are sent by him, when we put it all together, will be found for good to those that love God and to them who are called according to his purposes. No matter what comes, no matter what trial there is, all things are directed by the hand of God. And that's what God is doing in this passage. He is directing this woman, and he is blessing her. He is rewarding her faith. The faith of the woman who had ministered to his servant, the prophet Elisha. And having summoned the prophet, the word of the Lord now comes through the prophet to lighten her path and to enable her to escape. Go somewhere else. The famine is coming. And God provides for the Shunammite woman, but he does that by sending her where? To the hand of the enemies of God, to the Philistines. She lived peacefully in the midst of the Philistines for 7 years, but the Lord honored her in their midst, and he even made her enemies to be at peace with her. What a beautiful story this is of the provision of God, the power of God, the love of God. But it's also a picture of the woman in this passage who, in simple faith, obeys the prophet's instructions. Notice she is instructed that God is going to bring a famine upon the land. God is going to test her faith. She only has a word from the Lord through the prophet. But what this woman does is she obeys the word of God. This severe test to her faith is now submitted. She has to, it's not a small thing to leave her home and her property and to go for a long period of time to where? To the Philistines. You know, there's no Hotel Israel in the Philistines' land. The Philistines were not favorable to the Israelites, but this is where this woman goes. But she goes with confidence in but one thing, in the veracity of the word of God, the word of the prophet that God had sent to her. And nothing but a genuine faith in God and his word is sufficient for the human heart in any emergency. But the mind of one who trusts in the Lord will always find what? Perfect peace. Perfect peace because we trust in the Lord. To obey on the basis of the prophetic word was a renunciation of her own will. She had to forsake everything. She had to give up her home. She had to give up her farm, her family. She had to leave where she lived, and she had to go and live among the Philistines. But she did it because she obeyed the Lord. Elisha's word was not just good advice, but Elisha's word was the message of God to her and for her. There was no grumbling on her part. There was no lack of action on her part. What did she do? She simply obeyed the word of God. And your faith and my faith must in a measure be as the faith of the woman of Shunem. We must trust in the word of God. We must trust without any further evidence than what the word itself gives us. We must forsake everything, and we must follow and we must obey the word of God. The life of a covenant child of God is lived by trust and obedience. That hymn, Trust and Obey, should be a hymn that we know well. Trust and obey, for there is no other way. That's what a child of God does. He obeys the word of God. He obeys what God commands. He obeys what God has revealed in Scripture. That's what the Shunammite woman did. And she left, and she went away. But now notice that 7 years later, she returns. And she hadn't made legal provisions when she left to secure her property. She didn't have an attorney, apparently, or anything else that would secure that which she left behind. But she had faith that the inheritance of the fathers would be restored. And she returned punctually at the end of that 7 years of famine. I would imagine that in her mind, she might have had a mental calendar, do you think? There will be a famine for how long? 7 years. Well, if it's a famine for 7 years, at the end of 7 years, there's no more famine. And at the end of 7 years, she was able then to return. And she returns with an evidence of faith that is as demonstrable as her departure on the basis of the word of God. Trial and disappointment awaited her upon her return. Maybe some doubt came in. What profit is there in serving the Lord? Where is his promise now? No, you didn't hear any of that from her. She didn't say, I should have stayed home. I wouldn't have lost everything. No, she went back. She returned. And it tells us that she came back and appears before the king. And then the story tells us about how at the time she returns before the king to make her appeal to the king, at that very moment before the king is the servant Gehazi, the servant of the prophet, speaking to the king about the many things that the prophet Elisha had done. And one of the things that the prophet Elisha had done was what? He had healed the servant or the son of the woman from Shunem. And who walks in the door? The woman from Shunem. And that very fact is recorded in Scripture. And it's not very promising, if you would look at that passage, that the woman comes in front of this ungodly king. Remember, he is not the best king of all. But apparently he had some interest in the things that Elisha the prophet was doing, and he was asking Gehazi to tell him about them, and he is told about them, and the king is told about the wonderful, marvelous works of God. He's admiring the works of Elisha. Perhaps the recent deliverance was still fresh in his mind. Remember, they were delivered from the people that had surrounded Samaria in recent years. Amazing in light of the fact that he had only recently conspired and ordered the death of Elisha. Now he's interested in the great things that Elisha had done. What a conflict you see in this king. An ungodly king, and yet one through whom God's hand does still work. And unlike this king, many today, with the excitement of the religious moment, what we find in this king is that we find him still clinging to the sins of Ahab, his forefather, and the sins of the people. We find him not being faithful to God, but now there is a turn, now there is a desire, now there is something at least that he's interested in, and he wants to know about the works of Elisha. And so he is told about Elisha, and God brings the Shunammite woman right in front of the king at that exact moment when God would bring the blessing to this woman. And the woman gives her personal witness to that of Gehazi. Gehazi looks up and says to the king, "King, I've been telling you all about Elisha and all of what he did and about raising the woman's son from death to life. And here's the woman herself." And she could give testimony to the king about the truth of what Gehazi was telling him. And when the woman was in front of the king, she spoke of her dilemma, and the king was quick to order justice. It's a very brief story, but what he does is this. The king asked the woman, she told him, and so the king appointed an official for her, saying this, "Restore all that was hers, together with all the produce of the fields." And I like this one. "From the day that she left the land until now." In other words, 7 years of produce. Restore it all to her. All that God had in store for that woman comes to pass. Her land is returned. Her house is returned. The fruits of the field are restored. The fruits of the field are returned. And a king's officer is appointed to make sure that the royal command is duly performed. What a beautiful picture that is of the power of God and the mercy of God upon the Shunammite woman. But it's also a picture of the restoration that will take place of the true King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That picture is the picture of the hope of every Christian whose King Jesus is going to be the one that will restore all things. When Jesus comes, nothing will be forgotten. All things will be restored. The new heavens and the new earth will be ours. We will belong in that new heavens and new earth to him forever and ever. All our trials, all our suffering, all our deprivation, all of the famine, all of the suffering, all of the deprivation and want, all will be restored, and we shall see that all things truly do work together for good. The story of the Shunammite woman is a story of the blessing of King Jesus. He is our King. He is our Lord. He will restore all things and make all things new. And that's the picture we see in 2 Kings 8 as we see the blessing of the mercy of God upon the Shunammite woman. May that mercy of God be that which we reflect upon as we think of the mercy and the blessing of God in our lives as well. And may we look forward to that day when that mercy and that grace will restore all things and will restore us to God forever and ever. Amen.